Good morning. So I'm going to start with an announcement today. Just a second. That's going to distract you and it's going to distract me. There we go. So the announcement is we all owe some large debts. Well, aren't you just excited for me to announce that? You know, you say to me, well, I get a bank statement, so I already know what it says. I get a credit card statement, I know what it says. So why are you telling me we have large debts? Well, let me start with a piece of good news. The biggest debt has already been paid. So we're going to look at four debts today, one that's already been paid, but three more that we want to stay aware of. So I'll start with a couple stories today about debts and obligations. So my first debt happened about the time that I was 17 years old, and my father co-signed a loan for me to get a 1970 electric green Ford Maverick. There was a little car lot out on Forge Road next to a Nilly's. And so we went out there and we bought this used Ford Maverick. And I actually had the deposit. And that's because I had learned years previously that if I wanted something, I had to work for it and earn it. So as a young teen, probably 12, 13, I started selling seeds door to door in the spring. I'd walk up and down the street and around the block as far as mom would let me go. And back then, you didn't have to worry about kids. We were out all day. And she didn't even know where we were. Sometimes we came home for lunch, sometimes we didn't. But I walked around selling seeds. And the first year, I think I earned a whopping like $2, because you had to pay for the seeds that you sowed. But the next year, the neighbors realized that these seeds actually worked. I ordered them through the mail, and they had rows of zinnias, and they had a row of carrots. So the next year, they bought twice as many. So after about the third year of doing this, I actually earned a camera. So that was pretty impressive for an 11, 12, 13-year-old. And then I was old enough that I mowed lawns, and I had regular customers that I did every week. So I started putting this money away. And then about the time that I was 15, I started working at the family business. Now, you'll probably think, oh, the family business. You probably just went and hung out. Oh, you didn't know my dad. Right, Steph? So not only was he a hard worker, but he expected everybody that worked for him to be a hard worker because he wanted to get his money's worth. Right, Mom? So I trimmed bushes, dug up weeds, mowed lawns, and washed and waxed company vehicles. Yeah. So I put all that money away, and I went and I got this Ford. It did require a loan, and Dad co-signed. But he knew I was working for him and I was going to be paying back the loan. And then when I graduated from high school, I started working there full time. And so in 1980, see, I'm really aging myself. Oh, don't you whistle as you come in, hussy. 1980, I bought my one and only brand new vehicle. The whole rest of my life, I've never had a new vehicle, but I was living at home. I paid off the Maverick and traded it in, and I got a 1980 blue Chevy Chevette. I don't know if anybody remembers those little cars that were just a little bit bigger than a golf cart. And I remember buying it at the dealer in Harrisburg and driving it home. So now I had an even larger debt, but I had learned to pay off the first debt. So then Stacy and I got married when I was 24, and we bought a row house in on Pitt Street. Okay, so not an extremely large expense, but for us it was a large expense. And then the Lord called me to Elam. So I thought, well, I'll keep that for when we get back, and we moved to Elam with the two oldest girls, Elam Bible Institute, and we had to rent a basement apartment up there. So I had the mortgage and all the utilities back here, and I had the apartment and all the utilities up there. And Mother was quite the businesswoman. She managed my house for me while I was gone, collected rent, you know, told them if they didn't pay the rent that she was throwing them out. And there was a month or two that we didn't actually get the mortgage paid back here. And, of course, Mother was working on it. And I think at one point we even had to get somebody involved in getting the person to pay. But Stacy and I found ourselves, this is where I'm going, I'm talking about debts this morning. We owed the mortgage back home, we owed the rent on the apartment, and we hadn't received the payment for the house on Pitt Street. So we were in desperate straits. We're like, how is that ever going to happen? And we got some money in the mail. The week it was due, we got the money in the mail. I think we needed $200, and the check was a little over $200. So we paid the rent and the mortgage, and I think by the next month, the person had started paying again. We had another situation up there, so I'm talking about debts and obligations, where Becky had to go to the doctors. I was working for UPS, unloading trucks from 2 in the morning to 6 in the morning. And I had Teamsters insurance, but the copay was, I think, $28. Now, $28 back then would be like $50 now. We didn't have $28. Our account was zero. And the day we were taking her to the doctors, we went out. There was a handwritten envelope in the mailbox. Somebody from back here, I think actually somebody who attended here, had a handwritten note. The Lord prompted me to send this to you. $28. Come on. We took it downtown to the bank. We took Becky to the doctors. I wrote them a check. I'm hoping that that clears before that one hits. And we took her to the doctor. So debts and obligations. Debts and obligations. So as I started by saying, we all have some large debts that we owe, you and I. But the biggest one he paid. Now remember, Jesus told a parable about that so that we would get it. I don't think we do. Okay, I'll just say me. Okay, I won't put any of you in that boat. But remember, Jesus said there was this, he told the story, there was this man who owed an astronomical amount of money. And there was no way he could pay this. See, that's the large debt we owe. And he went to the master and he said, I can't pay it, please forgive me. And the master said, okay, I'll forgive you. And then he went out and he had somebody who owed him a couple $100. And he said, you need to pay me that now. And the guy said, well, I can't pay you. He said, fine. So he threw him into prison, but he had just been forgiven this large debt. So let's look at this large debt a minute. You don't have to turn there because I'm going to jump around, but I'm in Romans. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. We exalt in hope of the glory of God. God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So do you understand there was this large debt we couldn't pay? Who paid it? Jesus paid it. Therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and then death through sin, and death spread to all mankind, all have sinned, but the free gift is not like the transgression. For by the transgression of one, the many had a sentence of death, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one Jesus abound to many. So then, through one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all mankind. Even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification to all mankind. For through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Even so, through the obedience of one, the many will be made righteous. And Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So the debt we owed would have been that sin caused death. And who paid that debt? Jesus paid that debt. You and I have been completely forgiven. That debt's been erased. It's gone. In Matthew 6, Jesus told us to pray, Father, forgive us our debts as we have, come on, forgiven our debtors. As we have forgiven our debtors. And then Jesus goes on to say, for if, okay, big if you forgive others their transgressions against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't, then your Father will not forgive you. Come on, let's think about that. If you forgive others their transgressions against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their transgressions against you, he won't forgive you. See, so there is our first step. We owe others to forgive them what they did against us. That was what that whole parable was about. We were forgiven the monstrous debt. Now we need to forgive others the smaller debt. Are we doing that, church? Are we doing that? That was debt number one. Ready for debt number two? Oh, I went to 2 Chronicles and it's first. 1 Chronicles 16. Marty, since you were just reading in there recently, you probably already know where I'm going. Yeah? 1 Chronicles 16, verse 23. This is our second debt. First one is to forgive others. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Are you part of all the earth? Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. So listen, great is the Lord, you know, and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all other gods. For all of the other gods are idols, but our Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord. Ascribe means pay what you owe. Give them what they deserve. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due his name. See, that's a debt. He's owed our praise and worship. Bring an offering. What kind of offering? An offering of praise. Before him and worship the Lord in holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that's in it. Now, come on, do we want the seas and the rocks and the trees to praise the Lord, or are we going to do it? Let the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he's coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. So the second debt we owe is to give him continual praise. Every day. Not just on Sunday morning. Not just when somebody is leading you in a praise and worship song. Praise and worship is what David was known for, so we're just going to look at a couple verses out of Psalms. Psalm 113. Praise the Lord, O servants of the Lord. Okay, let's make sure we get this. Is that us? We're all the nations, we're all the peoples. Are we the servants of the Lord? Praise him, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever. Listen, for how long? From the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, the name of the Lord is to be praised. So that's all day, right? Continually throughout the day. You do your job, you're walking down the hall, you're praising the Lord. You're driving to work, you're praising the Lord. You're driving home from work, so you can choose to complain and gripe about all the people you work with, the same way they're driving home complaining about you, or you can praise the Lord. Get up in the morning, praising the Lord. That's a debt that we owe. You know what? It's a good thing to pay your debts. Right? So I work for a credit union 2 days a week, and I know what happens if you don't pay your car payment. They come and repossess it and take it back. If you don't pay your house payment, what happens? Or your apartment rent. Like I was saying, we had to have somebody sent papers saying, you go one more month without paying, we're going to have to evict you because the people who own this have to pay their bill. And they had already missed 2 months. So it's important that we pay our debts. It's also important for honesty and integrity, because that's what we should be examples of, honest and integrity. All right, Psalms 30. You, O Lord, have turned my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth, which is what they put on. It was like burlap, and it made them uncomfortable, and it was part of mourning and grieving. You have girded me instead with gladness, so that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. Lord, I will give you thanks forever. I thought all day long was enough of a requirement. This says, I will give you thanks forever. Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the Most High. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord, listen, the glory due his name. See, we owe him our praise and our worship. Worship the Lord in the majesty of his holiness. So, debt number one is to forgive others as he's forgiven us. Debt number two is we owe him our praise and worship. So remember, we're looking at four. So this is number three. So what happens if you don't pay a debt? They try to come after you and collect that debt, right? So what happens if you go into a store and you stick something in your pocket and walk out without paying? So the word tells us that we have actually robbed God and taken what was owed to him and did something else with it. Huh? Yeah, it says that. Will a man rob from God? And then God answers that question. Yes, you are robbing me. But you say, God, how have I robbed you? What does he say? In tithes and offerings. And then here's his instruction. Bring the whole tithe. The word tithe just means 10%. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me in this. So he's saying that if you do this, there's going to be a result that you're going to like. So put me to the test. And this is what he says. Test me in this, says the Lord, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. Okay, well, that's pretty exciting so far. And pour out upon you a blessing. That's even more exciting, right? Until it overflows. So if we give him our tithes and offerings, if we are not robbing from him, oh, Pastor Steve, you're just talking about money. Okay, am I preaching the word or am I not? And we're studying debts, right? I didn't say this. God said it. Okay, I just want to be clear. I don't want to get letters this week that you're just hoping for a raise, and so you're preaching about tithes and offerings. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and test me if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing until it overflows. That means the blessing is coming in to the point that you can't even contain it. Oh, I like those kind of blessings. So that means he's going to bless me, and it's going to overflow, and it's going to come out and affect all of you. Come on. He blesses us so that we can say, yay, I'm blessed and I'm going to hoard it all. No, I'm blessing you so that you can bless others. And it's even more than that, okay? Now, if that wasn't exciting enough, I'm going to bless you, and it's going to be to the point of overflowing. Then, after you've offered up your tithes and offerings, then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that he will not destroy the fruits of your ground, the vine in the fields will not cast its grapes, and all the nations will call you blessed. Come on. Come on. Come on. Yeah, in fact, in Exodus, it talks about giving him the first fruits. Like, that's where the 10% comes from. So, like, when the farmers harvested their field, they didn't say, okay, we're all going to eat, and we're going to invite our neighbors, and we're going to put away our fruit for the winter, and then if there's anything left, we'll give it to God. They took the first of a harvest and gave it to God, and then they kept the remaining first fruit. And then you say, well, that's Old Testament. We don't live in the Old Testament. Well, Jesus went up to the Pharisees, and he said, okay, guys, listen. You tithe everything out of your garden. You go through, and if you've picked this much mint, you give a tenth of that to the Lord, and you keep the other 90%. But you've completely missed kindness and fairness and the way that you're to be treating other people. You need to not be neglecting either. See, Jesus didn't say replace one with the other. He said you need to be doing both. You need to be tithing, but you also need to remember that there's other things as important as tithing. And it's things like how you treat other people. And then you know Jesus. He took the law and he extended it and made it very practical. I'm talking and trying to find a verse at the same time. Sorry. So in other words, remember he said, you think it's wrong to have adultery, and it is, but I say even if you think, okay? So he does the same thing here with giving. Now I say to you, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So he's saying you could actually, if you wanted to, Pastor Kurt, you could go above the 10% and you could give an offering, because if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. Each one must do what you have purposed in your heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So even when you bring your tithe 10% in, you don't want to go back to that basket and say, I have to put in my 10%. Okay? God wants you to do it cheerfully. And he's hoping you'll even get to the point that you can say, you know what? This week I added a little more than that. I rounded it up. And so I even gave a little more than that. I gave generously. For God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all sufficiency and everything you may have an abundance. Yay! See, he wants us to not just have barely enough to pay our bills. He wants us to have an abundance, and he explained how that happens. You give to God what you owe God, you pay that debt, and then that'll open the windows of heaven. He'll pour out a blessing that'll overflow. You won't even be able to contain it. Yay. Okay. That was debt number three. Debt number two. I'm sorry, debt number four. One, two, three, four. Proverbs 3. I'm going to give you a minute to turn there and give you a minute to let your mind catch up, because I shared a lot really fast. I tend to do that. So debt number one is that we forgive others as he forgave us. Debt number two was that we owe God praise and worship all day long, every day. Debt number three is we owe him our tithe. And if we want to be generous above that, he'll bless that. Number four is from Proverbs 3, verse 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, a debt to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go home, come back, and tomorrow maybe I'll help you. Maybe I'll give it to you tomorrow, when you actually have it today. So that means if somebody asks you for help, if you are able, okay? We all of the times we're not able, but if we are able, you're to help others, because that is what you owe them. Now, this isn't talking just about financially. You know, sometimes people have needs deeper than financial needs. And what they need is maybe for you to pray for them. What they might need is for you to just go and sit with them. Have a cup of coffee. Just be there. So you're paying them what you owe to them because you can do it. So if you have the time and you're able to go and just sit with somebody and encourage them or pray for them, the word is saying do it. Don't just think about it. Do it. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another. See, that's our instruction, isn't it? That we're to encourage one another, strengthen one another. So the debt we owe others is to help them if we can help them. Ephesians takes it a little further than that. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving each other, which we've already talked about, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Huh. So we owe it to be kind to other people. How easy is that? Well, it's easy if they're being kind to you. But that's not really paying a debt, is it? I personally don't like it when somebody is serving me, and especially if I'm paying them to serve me, and they act like they don't really want to do it and they're being grumpy. And then I have to pause and I think, I wonder why. So, oh goodness. Yeah, I have to keep my emotions under control because I get emotional really quick. So Pastor Kurt and I used to meet for breakfast or lunch, whatever it was, one of the restaurants in Carlisle, and I don't want to name it. But I had also been going to that same restaurant for a number of years, and then he and I started doing it. And that moved to him and I meeting here every Wednesday afternoon. And so that's when we meet now. And so anyway, we would go in there, and this one waitress, we would always ask for her because she was extremely friendly and helpful. And, you know, we would ask her how she was doing. And this one time she came up to the table, and she just did not look right. And, you know, Kurt and I are looking at each other. And so when she comes back, I said her name, and I said, "Are you okay?" And I think she's maybe 50. A couple years ago, her husband died at 50. And she had been off like 3 weeks, and she had just come back like a day or two before that. She choked up, and she said, "This is really hard." And we were able to tell her that we would pray for her. But see, people that didn't know her would say, "Wow, she's crabby. She's hard to get along with. I don't want her waiting on me again." But she had two kids that she said now she was responsible to raise, and she expected her husband to be there. So Sharon, you know. Yeah. So be kind, tender-hearted. Okay. So I want to summarize a little bit. So, four debts. Forgive, praise, do good, if you can do good, if you can help, and paying our tithes. So how serious does God take all this? Are these just like good suggestions? And it might be nice if we did these? Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the plans of God. And they who have opposed will receive condemnation. I'd say he takes us paying our debts pretty seriously. For because of this, you pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. So render to all what is due them. Hey, that's pretty clear. If he's telling us we owe people to forgive them, he wants us to forgive them. If we owe people to be kind to them, then we need to be kind to them. Pay tax to whom tax is due. Custom to whom custom is due. Respect to whom respect is due. Honor to whom honor is due. Come on. That means you should honor those who serve you. Honor those who are in authority over you. Owe nothing to anyone. Come on. Verse 8. Except to love one another. For if you love your neighbor, you have fulfilled the law. Owe nothing to anyone except to love. So God's telling us that we need to take this seriously. We need to take that we owe debts and that we need to start working on paying those debts. So we mentioned today we owe some debts to God. We owe him our praise and our tithes, and he's looking for us to do our best. our praise and our tithe. How about to other people? Okay, he said, pay your taxes, pay your debts, pay your obligations. Honor people that you should honor. Respect people that you should respect. Forgive people you should forgive, and be kind to one another. Come on. How about that list? So the biggest debt we were forgiven. Biggest debt was where our sin got us. Our biggest debt is that we were separated from God and we couldn't pay that bill. And God knew that. And it says that he demonstrated how much he loved us by sending Jesus to die in our place, to take our penalty for us, so that God could pronounce, you're forgiven. Your slate is wiped clean. That debt was $1 million. I got out my ledger. I erased it. I wrote, Jesus paid. And now I've written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I would much rather be in the Lamb's Book of Life than the O of the $1 million column. How about you? And see, that's the good news we leave here with every Sunday. We get to tell other people, you know, you owe a really large debt to God, but he forgave. You're separated from God, but through Jesus you can be reconciled. Who doesn't want to know that their debts were forgiven? If I called the bank and I said, hey, I'm calling on behalf of so-and-so, and I don't care how much they owe, the mortgage, the car payment, the credit card, I'm going to pay it all. And then you'd get a call. You know what? You don't owe any of that anymore. Somebody paid it. Is that good news or isn't it? So why do we share it like it's bad news? Okay, why do we share it like you're going to hell and you're going to burn for eternity? Hey, we already know that if we don't pay our bills, something bad's going to happen. So we don't have to remind people that. How about saying, God so loved you that he sent Jesus to die in your place and wipe your slate clean? That's good news. So in light of that big debt, how about we all agree to start paying these small debts? Forgive. Be kind, give God the 10% that he asked for, and work on praising him all day long. I have days that I do my morning devotions. I'm just being honest. And I go to work, and I have a busy day. I work a 12-hour day, and I'm exhausted, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, I hardly talk to God at all day, let alone praising him. You know, you're staring at a computer screen, and you have emails popping up, and we have our own intranet where we communicate all day. And because of the department I'm in, if you're at a branch and you need a decision and it comes to our department, we only have so long to get you an answer back, 5 to 7 minutes. They would rather it be like 2 to 3. And so I have to be on this all day long and paying attention. And I'm like, goodness, Father, I hardly talked with you at all today. And so we have to make it something that we're diligent about. Something that when we get in our car to head to work, we can either, I know you shouldn't, but I see you all doing it. You're listening to emails or text messages. See, my phone and my last couple phones, I just say, hey, read my emails to me or read my text messages to me. So I don't have to break the law and hold my phone. And it's reading, and then it says, do you want to reply? And I say yes, and then I do my reply. My old phone, you got a reply from me, it didn't even sound like English. This one, it actually sounds like English, just every now and then it messes up a word, and you're like, I don't know what Pastor Steve meant. But, okay, and then I'm like, I'm at my destination, and I wanted to pray and talk to the Lord. It has to be a deliberate decision, right? Praise the Lord all day long. Give him thanks all day long. Is he worthy of our praise and worship all day long? Amen, amen. Okay, so I'm hoping it wasn't all bad news, but I felt that was the word I was to share today, that we had debts. Okay, communion. So you do realize communion means talking to someone, spending time with someone.